You've heard our open themes with listeners talking about their vocations.
Missouri dairy farmers, love issues, etc.
And what they're doing while listening to issues, etc.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love issues, etc.
We're looking for more of these elements to include in our open themes. Tell us about your vocation, hobby, or what you do while listening to Issues Etc. Call the Issues Etc. comment line 24/7 at 618-223-8382. If you make a mistake, just start over. 618-223-8382. Thanks for listening, and thanks for contributing to Issues Etc. 618-223-8382.
If Donald does win, it'll be awkward at the annual President's Day photo when all the former presidents gather at the White House. How is Barack going to get past the Muslim ban?
You can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb on the final day, and that's not acceptable.
Those who wish to divorce the church from education started to say, well, this is all very neutral.
When he brings you into that life, he brings you into a place where you'll never need an earthly safe place ever, ever again.
LCMS Navy chaplains appreciate daily food for thought on issues, etc.
The headline from the Associated Press reads, Iraqi advances give hope to displaced Christians. It is not very often. It happens, but it's not very often that we read a headline like that. Some good news for Christians living in a predominantly Muslim world, where to lose your home, to lose your town, to lose your school, to lose your family members, to lose your place of employment at the whim of, well, in this case, the forces of the Islamic State, is not an unusual thing. To be given that back is very unusual. Hopefully we'll be seeing more of that. Greetings and welcome to a special three-hour live broadcast of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 25th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking about the freeing of an historically Christian town by Iraqi forces with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch. Our series Worldview Watch continues. We'll be talking about the moral conundrum of WikiLeaks. Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting will be our guest. We're going to talk about the reported archaeological discovery of a breach in Jerusalem's ancient wall, which led to its destruction and the destruction of the Second Temple in 70 AD. They believe that they have found the place where the Romans made their way into the city. Dr. Craig Evans, author of Jesus and His World, The Archaeological Evidence, will join us for that conversation. Bill McKeever will be with us. Mormonism Research Ministry is his organization. We're going to talk about Mormons and GOP presidential candidate Donald Trump. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson on Saul becoming king. And then Dr. Ken Cherb will continue Issues Etc. Reformation Week for us on this Tuesday afternoon. We're talking about Luther's inner circle today. Luther's fellow reformer, you might call him Luther's right-hand man, Philip Melanchthon. Dr. Ken Cherb will be our guest. He did his PhD dissertation on Philip Melanchthon. That's the last hour of this special three-hour edition of Issues Etc. Joining us to talk about the freeing of an historically Christian town by Iraqi forces, Robert Spencer, director of Jihad Watch, author of several books on Islam, including The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS, and his latest publication, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran. Robert, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Great to be here, Todd. Thank you.
Can you just give us a picture, a thumbnail sketch, of what it has been like for Christians in this part of the world over the last decade or so?
It's been disaster. It's been catastrophe on a massive scale, unprecedented, as a matter of fact, in the history of the Christian presence in that region, which goes back to the time of Christ himself. The Christian community at the time of the toppling of Saddam Hussein was about 1.3 million in Iraq, and now it's down to under 200,000. Most of the Christians have been expelled, killed, forcibly converted, and those who remain are under severe threat from Islamic supremacists inside the Islamic State and also other groups that want to enforce the Quranic rules about making the Christians pay a tax as a sign of their subjugation. and to accept all sorts of humiliating and discriminatory regulations in order to gain the privilege of being able to continue to practice their faith. And this has been what they have faced all this time. Of course, when the Islamic State took over these areas, they exiled the Christians altogether if they refused to pay this tax. And so now we're coming to the phenomenon of Christian towns that were entirely Christian or almost entirely Christian being won back. And the Christians have a chance to go back now to their homes, the only risk being that there are other rival jihad groups who could end up victimizing them again in much the same way that the Islamic State did and are still very much present in that region.
We're talking about regions and towns that are historically Christian in ancient times. These are not just fly-by-night Christian communities. These are very ancient communities. Under Saddam Hussein, how did these groups fare?
Under Saddam Hussein, they had almost equal rights with the Muslims in society. There is no Muslim society, there's no majority Muslim country where Christians enjoy absolutely equal rights with Muslims. There's not a single one, not even ostensibly secular Turkey. However, in Iraq under Saddam Hussein, he was an Arab nationalist. He was not an Islamic supremacist. He did not govern according to Islamic law, and he granted broad rights to Christians. They still couldn't proselytize and so on, but they still were in a much better position than they would be under the traditional formulations of Islamic law that the jihadis want to reinstitute and have reinstituted in that area over the last few years.
Being forcibly exiled by the Islamic State or groups like it is better than what could happen. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, they could be. I mean, the Quranic equation is to give them three choices: conversion, subjugation as inferiors under the rule of Islamic law, where they accept all the humiliating and discriminatory regulations that that entails, and death. So it's conversion, subjugation, or death. Exile in that regard is a mercy, a blessing for them, because it at least enables them to escape the triple choice, at least for a time. And have a chance to, as they are now, having a chance to return to their ancestral homes once this scourge is driven back a bit.
What happened to these Christians there in Iraq is a snapshot of what's happening to Christians all over the Muslim world. What happened this time of them actually, as you say, having a chance to return, although not in complete safety, that's pretty rare, isn't it?
Very rare. As a matter of fact, almost unheard of in the history of Islam. I mean, of course, it happened on a large scale in Spain, not so much a return, but the reconquest. But most of the lands that Muslims conquered, including Christian lands such as Egypt, Syria, and so on, just have stayed Muslim and have never been reconquered by the Christians. And the Christians didn't so much get exiled in those places, but they accepted the second-class status of Islamic law, dhimmitude, and then were gradually assimilated into Islam over the centuries as Christians realized that they were living these miserable existences and suffering this discrimination, and all they had to do to escape it was to convert to Islam. So Egypt, for example, was 99% Christian at the time of the Islamic conquest in the 7th century, but is now 90% Muslim, and the Christians didn't just leave. The Christians are all there. They are just all converted to Islam. The Egyptian Muslim population, if they go back far enough, they will have ancestors who were Christian. And this is what happens most of the places in the Islamic world. The Islamic State, however, did not own that land, that territory, did not control that territory long enough to assimilate and completely Islamize the Christian population, as they would certainly have done if they were there for decades and centuries and so on. But they only held it for a few months, and thus the Christians who were exiled are able to get back at this point.
And this has historically, as you mentioned at the very outset of our conversation, been, by and large, the consistent policy, for lack of a better word, of encroaching Islam wherever it has managed to gain military or political power.
Absolutely, Todd, and there's no reason, there's no surprise in that, because it's from the Quran. The Quran mandates this triple choice of conversion, subjugation, or death, It's in chapter 9, verse 29, which tells Muslims to wage war against the people of the book, which is the Quran's term for primarily for Jews and Christians, until they pay the jizya, which is the tax, with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. And so that making sure that they are submitting and feeling themselves subdued, that is the foundation of these discriminatory regulations that are in Islamic law. As far as Muslims are concerned, because that's mandated in the Quran, that's not negotiable. That is something that is part of divine revelation, and consequently, it will always be reinstituted by Muslims who believe that these things are divinely inspired, as long as wherever they take control of an area and these things are not already in effect.
You mentioned that there are other Muslim groups that have a similar approach to that of ISIS. The one we always read about, of course, Robert, is the Islamic State. What are some others that are there? What are their viewpoints?
Well, you have al-Nusra, which is al-Qaeda, and al-Qaeda essentially has the same theology as the Islamic State. You have the Free Syrian Army, same thing. These people all read the Quran. They all believe in Islam, and Islam teaches these things. It's not that ISIS invented them. And so as far as the Islamic State is concerned, it could lose all its territory and be completely destroyed, but there will still be Muslims who believe that it is their responsibility before Allah to subjugate the Christians and make them subservient and paying this tax and so on.
If we see Christians being able to return at this point to something of a life of normalcy, what are they returning to? What apart from the Islamic State's encroachment here, are they returning to something akin to what they had when Saddam Hussein was in charge of Iraq?
No, not really, because right now you have this weak Shiite regime in Baghdad that's essentially a client of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Now, the Islamic regime in, the Iraqi regime in Baghdad, even though it's Shiite and constituted according to the law of Islam, is not likely to impose the fullness of Islamic law and subjugate the Christians, because it does consider itself to be running a generally multi-religious, ostensibly, secular is not really the right word, because it is an Islamic state. The Islamic law is the highest law of the land, but it is less interested in enforcing these things. And so the Christians might have a chance living in those domains to be able to escape this. But if these areas fall under the control of the various al-Qaeda factions or the other Islamic groups that are in Syria and Iraq, then they might end up in exactly the same situation that they faced with the Islamic State in charge.
Do you have confidence in the Iraqi forces that have restored the Christians to this particular town to do so elsewhere?
I don't think that they are going to do much more after the election. I don't think that this is anything more than an attempt to show that the U.S. initiative in Iraq and Syria is working for electoral purposes. And once Hillary Clinton is elected president, then probably the Islamic State will begin to make gains again, or at very least a stalemate will set in. The larger problem is very likely to remain, because nobody is really addressing it at all. And that is the ideology that fuels all this, and the chaos that rules in the region is likely to simply continue.
Do you see any difference in a prospective Clinton administration's approach to ISIS and to this kind of Islam than we have had for the last 8 years?
No. A Hillary Clinton administration is going to just be the Barack Obama third term and is going to continue his policy of willful denial, willful ignorance regarding the jihad threat, and the refusal to deal with the ideological roots of it. As long as the motivating ideology of the jihad is ignored and denied, nothing is done to combat it. And so it's going to continue.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch, author of several books on Islam, including The Complete Infidel's Guide to ISIS and his latest publication, The Complete Infidel's Guide to Iran. You can find out more about these books and Jihad Watch at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Robert, thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure always, Todd. Thank you.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk joins us on the other side of this break, a special three-hour edition of Issues Etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, October the 25th. We continue with Jonathan, our series called Worldview Watch. We're going to talk about the moral conundrum of WikiLeaks. Stay tuned. We have 7 Arabic language transcripts of Issues Etc. that you can download for free.
يمكنك تنزيل النص لسبع حلقات من برنامج قضايا باللغة العربية مجانا.
These broadcast transcripts cover the 6 chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism and include a teaching on why do bad things happen.
تغطي تلك النصوص الأجزاء الستة الرئيسية من كتاب التعليم المسيحي لمارتن لوثر.
You can download and print these Arabic transcripts for free. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Publications.
وتشمل تعليما عن لماذا تحدث المصائب؟ لتنزيل وطباعة النصوص العربية مجانا، اذهب إلى issuesetc.org ثم انقر على Publications.
Casting Christ Net on the Internet, issuesetc.org.
نطرح شبكة المسيح على شبكة الإنترنت. issuesetc.org.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on beautiful children's Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.